They'll teach you history, yeah. But they'll teach you what they want you to think is.
And none of it good has people, ever been Shay here. Man, wanted to let you guys know that I am revamping the thrust of the podcast. I've been off track from the start, allowing myself to be drawn into political arguments and mainstream news, really in an effort to try to reach as many people as possible, especially within such a small niche as being black on Earth. Which, actually, when I consider it's on Earth, isn't really that small, but really I'm only catering to essentially those English-speaking, you know, black people. And typically, I imagine that most of the people that listen to my podcast are going to be from, you know, the Americas. But I try to do like a mainstream news thing to just sort of reach out to all peoples within that niche. So the podcast is being called Being Black. The podcast is called Being Black on Earth. Of course, it should include those things. But there are many things that will cover. There are many others that cover politics and news far better than me. You know, in fact, politics is not my main concern when it comes to black people, even though it's not. It is a huge concern. It's just not my main concern. Where my heart lies, including, you know, the work that I actually do, one of my many jobs, is the way I see it, like healing the Ma'afa. You know, just trying to help us deal with the trauma of what has happened to us. Like Dr. DeGruy would call it, you know, post-traumatic slave syndrome, which to me, you know, a lot of people harp on slavery. And forget that there were many things that happened after slavery that were equally as bad. You know, just, you know, pretty much highlighting other aspects of the slavery. So that's where I lie, you know. Therefore, you know, the original thrust of the show is that, you know, that was the way I intended the show to be, but I just got really emotional and ended up going on a lot of, like, political rants. Some time ago, my wife told me that she saw me as a shaman of fatherhood in particular. You know, I was reluctant to take on such an austere role and title. You know, I've had major issues specifically to do with my fatherhood. Some of the details are covered actually in a little known documentary available on Amazon for free called In Search of a Broken Heart, done by one of my previous guests on the podcast, Michon LeBron. So just to give you a brief overview, I have 7 children in total, and I had have three from a previous marriage. After a nearly 10-year battle, call it a war, not really over custody, but really just over visitation, which I may go into some later date when I, you know, at another episode. And one of those aspects is actually covered in the documentary. So, long story short, after 10 years, my contact with them was severed. I'll be clear to state that my disconnection with my children was not legal, so it wasn't necessarily done through the courts. The courts didn't separate me from my children. It was my choice, because the battle that we were fighting was largely outside of the courts. If anything, the courts were just basically used as leverage to get other things done on both sides. And, you know, so I'm not going to place any blame here on this. I'm just going to say that, let's just say it was used that way. And the whole thing was a very painful interpersonal war that really only hurt the children. Since then, I don't or rarely hear from or see them. And my children are pretty much grown now. Of the three, 2 are legally adults, and 1 is pretty much on her way there. She, you know, she just has 1 more year and she'll be legally an adult. So that's my wound, you know, and it took that pain. I took that pain and I channeled it actually into creating mentorship curriculum for teens and preteens. And I've worked as a mentor to young people in the inner city of Miami and Broward for the past 5 years, mentoring over 2,000 children as a program director, a sports coach, guardian ad litem, and life coach. That's the term for it, but essentially. It's been humbling, and it actually revealed some of my own suppressed childhood traumas, things that I thought were normal or just sort of regarded as normal or as par for the course, and realizing that it's not normal at all. A lot of the things that happened to me after hearing some of the things that happened to these kids, and, you know, and I realized, whoa, that same thing happened to me. So, you know, I grew up in a mixed family, meaning, you know, different fathers, so same mother, in a single parent household in the inner city. You know, my father was not a part of my life. He was not a father. He was a father, but not a dad, you know. And I was lucky enough to attract, I would say I attracted many father figures into my life, you know, in brief periods of time. And I think it's because that's just my personality. I'm a student of life and I love to learn. So even if you might be what some people might consider like a negative or a toxic person, I'll usually be able to squeeze out some lesson, even if it's a negative lesson, even if it's like, okay, I'll know not to do that anymore. Or, some, you know, everybody has something to teach. You know, I've had people in my life, men in my life, who have, you know, abused me in one fashion or another. But then there was something about them that I watched, whether it was their work ethic or their study habits or even maybe certain aspects of their fatherhood. And I still learned from it. And those are things that I still employ to this day. So I was lucky enough to attract that in my life with as far as fathers go, but I never really had a father, you know, never really had someone consistent in my life that sort of reared me up. Now I have 4 children with my wife now, you know, with whom I'm, you know, very much involved. Both my wife and I are self-employed entrepreneurs who work extensively in the community, and we homeschool our children. You know, of the 3 children that I lost, the 3 from, you know, my previous marriage, I lost them, but I gained hundreds more in mentorship and in doing business. You know, I'm also a writer, an artist, and a graphic designer. And I employ the guiding attributes, I think, of being a father in my work as a mentor and as an artist and writer. I believe that really is my gift, you know, is that being fatherly, I guess, as much as you can think of how that looks. So now I'm not trying to son anyone, you know, so to speak, because I learn as much from my mentees and students and clients as they learn from me. I'm no one's guru. I don't have it all together at all. I'm also a mentee, you know, with my own mentors and teachers. So I say all of that to say that from now on, I will use this platform, Being Black on Earth, the podcast, to promote healing for those victims of the African Maafa, the great disaster. That is what that translates to, that has resulted in the destabilization of the nations of sub-Saharan Africa and created the diaspora, where peoples of African nations were sold and traded throughout the West, landing in the Caribbean, the British Isles, North, South, and Central America, where we were brutalized through generations of rape, medical experimentation, degradation, dehumanization, enslavement, imprisonment, vilification, marginalization, deculturalization, indoctrination, lynching, segregation, eugenics, and propaganda. Despite all of this pain, we of the Maafa have in common another commonality that binds us in our own universal spirit that has brought great and unique art forms, spirituality, language, and wealth to the world. Though denied by some, it continues to do so. And I know that this word victim is some hot button word and nobody wants to be a victim, but there are victims. There are people who were, and there are victimizers. And I think they want to take away that term victim so they don't have anyone to point to and to blame. And I believe that it is a tactic, but we are victims, and you can own that or not own it. But the truth is, we were traded away. We were stolen. These things did happen to us in a place where many of us, the majority of us, were powerless to do anything about it. And it continues to this day. And that's what I'm addressing. So while with this podcast, you know, I want to try to rehabilitate the past as well as rejuvenate us here in the present, what I want to start focusing on is memorializing and celebrating our accomplishments, both great and small, you know, as well as talking about the history of some of the things that were done to us and how it contributes to our status today, and mostly how we've come overcome it and how we can heal it, how we can continue to overcome it. So in the past, I've called myself all kinds of names. At first I was like Shaw, good guy, and because I was just confused. I'm just be straight up. I was just trying to figure out like a persona to give. Now my name is Manasseh, which actually is the anglicized form of Menashe. So, you know, there are people in my life who call me Shay, as for short. So I was going by Shaw and Shay, and I thought Shay kind of sounded kind of, I don't know, didn't sound right to me. So I wasn't sure if I should go with it, but I was going by Shay, good guy. So I'm going to go by Baba Shay from now on, Baba Shay Shaman. And it's a little embarrassing to even say that, because this whole persona thing, this whole thing is just really odd to me. This is new to me. I wasn't born, and I don't think my strong suit is being some kind of radio personality, but I do think I have a teacher in me, and I think it's good to go by names or something like that. I don't know. So long story short, I'm gonna go by Baba Shay the Shaman. Now, before anyone starts screaming about cultural appropriation or that I'm trying to be something that I'm not, you know, because Baba just means father in Yoruba. And I am a Yoruba initiate. I'm not a priest, but I do practice Yoruba religion in my household. It's not the only thing that I adhere to, but it definitely holds a place in my life and in my household. I also have gone a couple of secret initiations. I'm not trying to humble brag or anything like that, because really it's not anything to brag about. They were just initiations, and people wanted you to be quiet about them, and they were difficult, and they were long, and they were arduous. That would qualify me as a priest, at least in those disciplines. And I've had that title, and people have seen me that way and things like that. So I'm not going to be applying, you know, those disciplines here to the podcast, but I will be applying some of the principles that I have learned, you know, to attain the title. Does it make, you know, obviously I'm using the word shaman, does it make me a shaman in the strictest sense? You know, absolutely not. No, only in the essence of what it means to be a shaman, right? So now, and so just know that that's how I mean it when I use it, and I'm sure that there were people who don't like it. But I get it. It means something to me, right? So now that I have opened myself up to you guys and spilled my guts to you, my listening audience, allow me to outline the subjects that we plan to promote and highlight with the podcast going forward. So obviously, spiritual growth, you know, through ritual, ceremony, we'll go more into that, and we'll cover all kinds of things, because just think of it, Africa, sub-Saharan Africa has probably thousands of different cosmologies and practices, the ones that apply mostly to us here as descendants of slaves from Western Africa, descendants of nations from Western Africa. You're gonna see like a lot of Akan things, Yoruba things, so things that would translate to like Santeria, Candomblé, Lukumi, and all those things. We're going to deal with health, you know, and diet, exercise, meditation, you know, all that mental health stuff, relationship and parenting, education, business and finance, children. You know, I want children to be a large part of what we cover here on the podcast. Community, and that means your immediate community, your local community, as well as our global community as it pertains to the Ma'afa. History, same thing, local as well as it pertains to the Ma'afa. And current events, and the current events as it pertains to just that theme, that, you know, of spiritual growth, health, education, business. You know, and we're definitely going to try to highlight events and people who exemplify the full experience of being Black on Earth. And that will maybe include even examining some of the mindsets that I might find adverse to us, you know, like a Candace Owens or a Larry Elder, people that hold these views, where is that coming from, without necessarily putting them down, because that just is part of that breath of being Black on Earth, that we just hold different views, and it would be good to kind of understand it. But for me, it's about it's really about healing us. And maybe sometimes in order to heal us, you have to understand, you know, the opposite point of view and things like that. So here's what I won't do anymore. I'm going to definitely hold myself to this standard of, you know, I won't be going on any political soapboxes. You know, there's tons of that. You can find that just about anywhere, and you can have your fill of that. And all it does for me, the reason why I get away from it, I am very political, and I get into politics quite a bit. Political arguments, I study it, like a lay person, you know, in totally informal. But all it does is just upset me. It just gets me in a really bad, depressed mood, you know, listening to the opposite side, listening to the things that they say, and having to research what. And that's something I'm going to do regardless, but I'm going to stay away from that on the podcast. I may bring it up only in the sense of how can we heal it? How can we deal with it? How can we combat it internally and maybe even as a community? I won't be promoting any dogma, you know, concerning lifestyle choices and labels and stuff like that. So I won't be going in on any like LGBTQ stuff, in or against them, any sort of gender roles and what people think should be the gender roles or what should be the proper religion, like shouting out Christianity and, you know, the Bible and stuff like that. Even though I have my personal views and I have my background, you know, in that, my own personal experience, I'm going to try to stay away from that and just deal with the positive and deal with healing some of those things. So if you could have a bad experience with anything, you can have a bad experience with any spirituality. And we're going to just deal with some of the more negative aspects of it and try to heal it. Because the truth is, I think something very unique to being Black on Earth is how many religions we are exposed to. And that we try to own and claim because we're such an ancient people. It gets really confusing. So you know that, at least speaking to the Black American experience, you step out of your house, you might start off as Christian. Maybe some of us even start off as Muslim. You know, and then you know, as you get older, then you're introduced to all kinds of things. And you, Hebrew Israelites will approach you, and then Yoruba, and on all the aspects of that, getting into, then you get into Kemetic and Nuwabu Nation and Moorish, you know, so there's so many, and we're all claiming it as to be our first and indigenous faith and religion, and we actually even will tie it to what's really going to save us and bring us out of our situation. So it ends up being just this huge discord, you know, where everyone is thinking they're in that religion that's going to save them from their situation, and that is the original state of us, you know. And that's a tough one, and I think that's very unique to us. I don't think that any other peoples on this planet have that experience. You know, you go to some of these Caribbean and Latin American countries, it's the same thing. You know, you're faced with Catholicism, Christianity, Protestant Christianity, and then also there behind that veil is African religion from Yoruba. And, you know, even Rastafarianism, you know, comes into play, and it's growing, right? So we won't try to, we're not going to promote any one over the other, but we will definitely discuss them and get into the details of them and you know, maybe discuss some of the bad experiences as well as some of the positive experiences, because they all have something to teach. Yeah. So we won't be getting into any like gossip and spilling the tea, none of that stuff. Shouting people down, like, you know, I won't, you know, I've done it, I'm guilty. All these things I'm saying I'm not going to do, I've done it, and this is why I'm saying I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, shouting down, like, for example, Jussie Smollett, or R. Kelly. I'm not saying that we're not going to address what they did is something that is wrong, and they might deserve what they're getting, but I'm just not going to get into any of the name-calling. If anything, we could start a discussion around this behavior, where we've seen it, how can we deal with it, and what things have led to it carrying on for so long, you know, in the case of R. Kelly, and in the case with Jussie Smollett, you know, maybe we discuss why someone would do something like that, you know, and if it's true, and what are some of the underlying things, where have we seen this before, you know, that kind of thing. And we definitely won't, I will I don't do this as a practice, and you might slip out every once in a while, but even in my own personal life, I do not use any divisive language. So, and I want to say everything from like ADOS, like dividing ourselves from American descendants of slaves, as opposed to whoever, you know, I know that they're having this right now, it's this hot button with like this immigration issue, and they're saying, oh, like all the HBCUs are just filled with African immigrants and Caribbean peoples, Latin American, Afro-Latinos and things like that. And I'm not going to get into that ADOS thing, because my whole thing is about Pan-Africanism. It's all about healing the Maafa and unification of us. So I don't personally see the difference between an American descendant of slaves or a Jamaican descendant of slaves or a Venezuelan descendant of slaves. The whole point is that we're all descendants of slaves. And including in sub-Saharan Africa, we call it colonialism, but it was a slavery. You know, apartheid was slavery. The things that were done in Congo and Rwanda, it was all forms of slavery. So, you know, all that coon and shea butter feminist and faggot and all that stuff, I'm not going to be using that kind of language. I'm not going to have those kinds of discussions. Other than once again, examine it. Like, what is this? What is this about? Why are we doing this? What can we do to be better, you know? Now, that shift, 16 episodes in, is relatively slight, because I basically stayed within those realms of just here and there I've gone off. So we're basically just like cutting out some of the fat, not even all of the fat. So am I going to have some it's called being black on earth. It's going to include politics, and it's going to include some current events and things like that. It's going to have to include it, because it pertains to us. It affects our daily life, and it will, and it has a major role in our healing. But I'm just not going to be going on any, it's not going to be a political podcast. Let's just put it that way. This is about culture. This is about healing. This is about solidarity and unification. And I'm guilty of falling into this trap because I am angry. I am depressed over the things that have happened to us and continue to happen to us. Especially now when there's this whole push that I have noticed to once again blame the victims, blame us for our current situation, and blame us and only us, right? It's not to say that we don't have a hand in it, but they blame us and only us. And it's almost this thing where that same thinking, that same philosophy, it's almost like this thinking that we don't feel pain, that we don't have anything to get over, you know. So, you know, our problem is just individual responsibility and, you know, just change our culture. That's it. You know, that's pretty much what they've always said to us. And that's angering. That's frustrating. And as I look out, I've seen that we've tried to do it many ways. We've tried it through religion. We've tried it through politics. And the powers that be always find a way to undermine it. And in ways, if we're being honest, we sabotage ourselves. And we're continuing to sabotage ourselves. I'm listening out right now to what's on the airwaves, what's in the media, and I hear us shouting each other down. You know, I live in a black community. I have a black family, and there's a ton of discord between us, where a lot of jealousy and, you know, hating on each other, a lot of hate towards each other. And we've done so many things to try to heal that. I feel like the key is first healing, just healing, just talking about it, talking about some of the pain that we've experienced from family members, from the society at large, from our governments. And seeing that we hold the same stories, we tell the same stories, whether you live in Lagos, Nigeria, in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, or you live here in the United States, in, I don't know, Flint, Michigan. You know, we're experiencing the same things at the hands of the dominant society, at the hands of the government many times. And sometimes even at the hands of each other, at each other's hands. And I want to heal that. I want to start there, start inwardly first with us. So there is a reflection of that individual responsibility.
And then having that spread out to our family members, our community, and then globally, you know, to our nations, our peoples. So that's it. That's what I'm going to be planning to do going forward. Like I said, that's just a very slight change. So some of the things I've done in the past still fall into that category. And the things that are coming up now still fall into that category. Where I have to be careful is I'll hear something, I'll be doing research on something, and I'll hear something that just piss me off. And I want to come on here and then vent. So no more of that. And another thing that has gotten me to that just isn't true to me is that I will, you know, just try to increase my listenership by just trying to like throw everything out there. Like, what can I do? You know, like, maybe I should try to be funny, or maybe, you know, even one of my previous episode series, I even did a thing where I played the part because it was long. It's like 3 hours long. So I broke it up into 5 parts and I played it at 1.25 speed, so it was like really fast, and I don't know, I liked it. I just was trying something. I was just trying anything just to get my listenership up, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not gonna try necessarily to do anything to get my listenership up. I'm going to just give the content as it comes to me, you know, and that's fair. This podcast really isn't costing me much of anything to do outside of time, you know. But as far as, you know, money, I'm not making any money, and I'm not spending much money either to do it. Not much money. So I would rather just, because I get a lot of anxiety around doing it. Like, what's it going to take? And I'm constantly going to see how is this podcast doing? And the other thing is I'm not getting any feedback. So I'm getting listenership. I get anywhere from 20 to 60 listeners per episode. So I'm literally, you know, every podcast, it's almost like sitting in a room of 20 to 50 people. But getting no feedback, as if they were just sitting there watching me. You know, so I don't know how it's doing. I don't know if people are actually listening to the entire podcast. I don't know if they just listen for a second and turn it off, 10 seconds. A minute, 20 minutes, and turn it off. I get feedback here and there, but I'm not sure if just people are not trying not to hurt my feelings, and, you know, what have you. But it's mostly positive. I can literally count on one hand, how many people have actually given me some constructive criticism, and it's always been good, you know. And usually the things that they have critiqued, by the time they've gotten back to me on those critiques, I've changed those very things. So I do get a sense of what needs to change, and by listening to other podcasts, you know, that I want to sound like and things like that. But other than that, I'm not getting any likes. I'm not getting any, you know, wow, I really appreciate this information, or hey, this is wrong, you know, from my listenership. You know, from some of my interviews, I've gotten things that, hey, you represented this wrong, and I go back and change it. But since I'm not really getting much feedback in general, it's kind of hard to tell what people like. So I get a lot of anxiety over just like just shooting into the dark, really, like trying to do whatever I see somebody else doing, you know. And even the sped up thing was that I found out that a lot of people like to listen to their audiobooks. Even sometimes I do it. I listen to the audiobooks a little bit faster, so I can get through it faster. So I thought that would be a cool way to just get through a lot of the information faster. Not to mention, I do have some like self-consciousness about the sound of my voice and my cadence when I speak, and I think I might sound boring, even though the sparse feedback that I have gotten is that's actually the best part of my podcast is my voice. I don't believe it. You know, I listen to myself, I cringe, right? And for some reason, the sped up version of my voice just sounded so much more interesting. I don't know why. And I still to this day like it, but it hasn't gotten much of an audience. And I actually promoted that one, you know, and I got a lot of likes for like the logo. Oh, speaking of that, I'll just get off of that topic now so that everyone knows where I'm headed. But speaking of the promotion that I did, I got a lot of likes from that. I did an Instagram promotion. It cost me just a few dollars to do, nothing much, but I've gotten a lot of feedback. Just what I'm thinking is just from the logo itself and not necessarily the content, because it hasn't driven any large number, especially not representative of the amount of likes that I've gotten. It hasn't driven, as you know, that many people to the actual podcast itself, and I can tell by Anchor, it gives me the analytics. So since people like the logo, the next thing I'm doing is I'm actually going to do some Being Black on Earth t-shirts. So that'll come up next. I'm actually working on that right now. I'm going to do some sample shirts. And I guess what I'll do is maybe I'll do a little giveaway where maybe the first five, I'll see how much it costs me. Maybe 5 to 10 people that give me some feedback. Good or bad, I'm not bribing you, but just any feedback at all, anyone that hits me up and lets me know what they think of the podcast, what they think of the content thus far, I'll send you out a t-shirt. And then for the rest, you know, I'm not sure how I'm gonna do it yet, because I don't know how to do this whole merch thing yet. But once I do, you'll definitely get a link on, you know, where you can go and buy the Being Black on Your Earth t-shirts for those of you who really like the logo. And I got a good 300 people so far that seem to really like the logo, so that's good. So that's pretty much it. Next week, stay tuned. You're going to be hearing from it's a rebroadcast of Jamila Rouser. So once again, still in that vein, because I think she exemplifies what it is being Black on Earth when you hear her story in the interview and then what she's doing with her experience of being Black on Earth. I think it's really positive, hopefully inspiring for those who haven't already heard it. She's actually one of the two top most listened to episodes. So I already know that people are gravitating towards that content. So hopefully a rebroadcast will bring in more people and inspire more people to do what Jamila is doing along those lines. So with that, I want to just thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being patient with me as I try to figure this thing out and iron it out. And see y'all next week. Peace.
They'll teach you history, yeah. but they'll teach you what they want you to think. What they want you to think is,
and none of it has ever been true.
Man, I'm just out here being.
I'm sure they would have done something.
I'm being black.
Beautiful with that,
and now
and everything.
I'm sure they would have done
everything that it means to be black.